Gray letters change shape, then form MH. Making Horror, a Making Film Company. A gold sun burst glows above. Sun Entertainment Culture. Words appear on a black background. Electric Entertainment presents, in association with Sun Entertainment Culture and Making Horror. In association with More Than Life Productions, White Windsor. A film community production. A film by Bette Gordon. Josh Charles. Julia Stiles. And Avan Jogia. The Drowning. Tracy Toms. Leo Fitzpatrick. Robert Clohessy. Casting by Allison Estrin. Costume designer Stacey Berman. Production designer Rachel Myers. Music by Anton Senko. Edited by John David Allen. Director of Photography, Radium Chung, HKSC. Executive producers, Peng Ho Chung, Subi Lang, Alvin Chow, Alex Dong, Elizabeth Kling, Stephen Moulton. Produced by Daniel Blanc, Radium Chung, Jamin O'Brien. Based on the novel Border Crossing by Pat Barker. Screenplay by Stephen Moulton, Frank Pugliese. Directed by Beck Gorton. A train arrives at a station. In a yellow Victorian house, a brown-haired man stares out a window. A woman's left hand touches his shoulder. A ring adorns the third finger on her hand. The blonde woman, Lauren, kisses his cheek. She moves away. On the porch.
No, come on. Let's go. I said you would.
With his arm over her shoulder, they descend the steps.
Come on, I'll make you like nature.
I don't think nature likes me very much.
On a river, a goose takes flight. Lauren smiles up at the man. A powerboat travels the smooth water. Ahead, the river empties into an estuary.
All I'm saying is you don't get fresh air like this in New York.
Okay, sure, whatever.
All right, you want to go back?
What?
To the house, not the city.
Beyond a chain link fence, with warning signs, a figure removes boots and a plaid jacket.
Is he going to...
The figure stares at the water.
What?
The figure falls forward.
Tom!
Tom runs, shedding his jacket.
Tom!
He pulls off his shoes. The figure's boot is buffeted by the wind. Tom dives in. Tom swims through the gray water. Lauren races from the breakwater rocks to the shore. The figure, the young man, bobs. Lauren stops.
Tom!
The young man swings an arm. Tom sinks under the water. Lauren wades into the water. The young man is underwater, his eyes wide. Tom pulls the young man to the surface with an arm securely over the young man's chest. Tom swims toward the shore. Tom drops the young man on the sand and forces his head to one side. Lauren pushes Tom aside.
He's not breathing.
She performs mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
I'm gonna call someone.
All right, I'll go.
No, stay. I got it.
Kneeling by the man, Tom looks around. EMTs pull the young man on a gurney. He is covered with a blue jacket. Tom stands with his arm around Lauren, who holds a jacket. In the bathroom, Lauren applies hydrogen peroxide to an abrasion on Tom's hand. Braless, she wears a thin, loose-fitting shirt.
I think this needs stitches.
It doesn't need stitches. Just put that on.
Oh, top. Yeah?
Yeah.
Do they even teach shrinks that?
You'd be surprised if they teach shrinks. Just put that... Ow!
Oh, sorry, sorry.
I'm just kidding. It didn't hurt.
Oh. He fondles her neck and kisses her. He lifts her onto the sink. She tugs at his shirt. The sheer curtains splutter at the open window. Tom strokes her bare shoulder. She lies with her back to him.
You all right?
Yeah, I just... Just that kid.
I know. It's touch and go.
You risked your life for a complete stranger?
It's not like I had a choice. Look, if I wasn't such a fantastic swimmer, then I wouldn't have gone in, but I am. And anyway, I'm all right, right?
His watch lies on the nightstand next to the seashell. In the kitchen, Lauren pours water into a mug. Dressed in a shirt and tie, Tom drops a jacket on the kitchen table. She hands him the mug.
Thanks.
She strokes his cheek.
Look, what you did was very brave. I just got scared, that's all.
I know.
I'll take that to the cleaners.
It's his, actually. Paramedics must have grabbed the wrong one. I was gonna stop at hospital. Oh, hey. It's okay.
At the hospital, Tom parks a dark sedan. Inside.
Hey, Mary.
You're about to admit a Dr. Thomas Seymour before I noticed.
Ian Wilkinson.
You get a read on him?
No. Tamepazan in his veins, maybe 10 of them.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Mary and Joseph.
Tom takes his jacket from Mary and holds up the young man's. In a room.
Hello. Thought you might be looking for this. I'm the guy that pulled you out. My wife was pretty shook up, so she'll be happy to know.
Dr. Seymour?
The dark-haired young man has a sparse goatee and thin mustache. He smiles.
It's me.
Danny? Danny Miller?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were out.
They kept it pretty quiet.
Right. So, Ian,
Ian was the warden's first name. Wilkinson was the chaplain's last, so... That's me now.
What has it been? 10, 12 years?
Really? Feels like twice that for me.
No, of course. I'm sorry, this is...
wild, right? That makes you think, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Chaplain would say that coincidence is the crack in human affairs that lets God in.
So Chaplain would. Well, look, I gotta get to work, so... All things considered, you look all right.
Yeah. All things considered.
Take care.
Danny turns his head in the direction of the door. Outside, Tom tosses the coat on the passenger seat. Breathing deeply, he stares off and rubs his chin. Fade to black.
Because my mother's a bitch, because she didn't believe that he raped me.
In court.
The bitch said, you know,
young
she
lady.
Said, she said I made it up. Fuck her. Your man gets 2 years probation, and she blames me, takes it on me. Bitch killed my dog. She killed my fucking dog. That's why. Cut her, the bitch. Showed her some fucking justice across her face.
That is enough, Mr. Mears. Will counsel and the psychologist please approach?
Tom eyes a dark-haired woman among the spectators.
Dr. Seymour.
Tom gets up. The woman watches him move to the bench.
So, what do you think?
In a bar, Tom enters with his briefcase. The woman sits at the bar with a drink. He sits next to her.
I'm so sick of that case. My dog.
You really think the mother's boyfriend raped her?
I'm gonna violate him anyways, before she kills him.
And kids usually need a reason to kill somebody.
Not in that neighborhood. Watch your drink.
Why, thank you.
Ian Wilkinson.
He's one of yours?
Yeah. And you did a good thing.
Were you ever gonna tell me?
You know I couldn't.
Do the police know it's him?
I took care of that. He was off his meds, depressed. Went for a swim.
A swim? Angie, Danny is...
He's Ian Wilkinson now. Okay?
Yeah, when did we start doing that?
We do it every once in a while. He's a very exceptional and damaged young man. Mm-hmm. Smart, right? He has a chance. The future, if we keep the police and the press out of it. He thinks you can help him.
Well, you know that's not gonna happen.
And you can't tell anyone about this. Not even your wife. Have your drink, Tom. You earned it. That water was deep. I gotta get back to court. At least look like I'm working. Think about it.
He glances toward the door as Angela leaves. He rubs his mouth by the river. Tom jogs. He pauses by the fence with the warning signs and removes an earbud. The temporary fence blocks a construction site along the breakwater. At the house, Tom loads a purple suitcase and brown duffel bag in the trunk of the car. Lauren carries a large portfolio. Tom drives.
So you back Thursday then?
No. I told you I'm filling in for Bob this weekend. You've been cutting down on your hours, so
yeah,
we could use the cash. You should come down.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Is there an opening or something?
No.
Because I just got to finish this chapter on parental abuse and I haven't listened to the tapes yet.
No,
so.
It's a good time.
He glances at her and nods.
I got it.
I hate talking about it this way.
Oh, I get it.
I'm sick of it. The calendars, the thermometers.
Hey, listen, no, I want that. I do, I want it. Whatever it takes. As many times as it takes.
Okay.
I'm your man. Try to finish up here in the next few days and get down there, okay?
She smiles. At the train station.
You know what? I'm gonna drive you down. We'll stop at a B&B and get right down to it.
Stop. It's fine. Just finish whatever it is you need to finish, but try to come down, okay?
You're beautiful, you know that?
He removes her bags from the trunk as the train pulls away. He watches her walk away, then gets in the car. At the house, a metal lantern sways on the porch. Tom walks up the stairs. He pauses and stares at the unmade bed.
It's too easy to assume that Nicole simply
At his desk, wearing earbuds and glasses, he sips from a mug and writes. He drops his pen and removes the buds. He sets his glasses by the mug. He heads downstairs.
Danny, what are you doing here?
Hey, I was just in the neighborhood, and you left your letter at the hospital the other day. It had your address on it. You didn't hear the doorbell? Anyway, it looked important, like a bill or something.
Oh, well, thank you. You look a bit better. How you feeling?
Well, I got out of the hospital and I slept like the dead.
Okay, well, thanks for this, and I gotta get back to work, so. What?
You're the only person I can talk to about what happened.
Tom looks him up and down.
Can I come in?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Just have a seat.
In the living room, Danny puts a cigarette in his mouth and strikes a match on a book.
Look, Danny, I can give you the name of someone else who can help. What are you doing? Please don't smoke in here.
Someone else, huh? I'm the knife that's been cast into the sea.
Excuse me?
Sigmund Freud, Doc.
No, I know who wrote it, but I wouldn't categorize you that way. Now, please put the cigarette out.
I just want you to know that...
No, Danny,
I really don't know.
Please,
can we
just, cannot do this. I'm not your therapist. I am not your therapist. No.
I'm sorry. Jesus. They convicted me for a crime that I didn't commit, and you basically sentenced me, so... Can you at least help me get my life back on track?
I rendered an opinion. That's all.
You know that I'm innocent. You gotta know that, right?
I actually don't know that, and I need to ask you to leave my house right now. Do you understand me? Now.
Danny nods and holds up a hand. He puffs and tosses the cigarette.
What the fuck?
Tom darts to retrieve it from the table. Danny takes a photo from the table by the front door. Walking toward the street, Danny stares at the photo of Lauren. He slips it in his pocket. Tom parks the car at a street's dead end. He passes a large two-story house with weathered wood shingle siding. He carries a grocery bag to a man raking leaves.
Hey, Lewis.
Lewis mimes a punch.
Gotcha. Really? Good job. See you, Lewis.
He enters the kitchen.
Hey, Mom.
I'm in here.
She trims yellow tulips with garden shears.
Lewis tried to talk to you out there?
He could say that, yeah.
He keeps coming in here on his breaks, talking and talking about the past. It's very depressing. I'm at a point I'm ready to go downtown and hire a Mexican or something.
Mom, what?
Where's my daughter-in-law?
She's in New York.
In the old days, it was the men who went on the business trips.
Mom, don't start with
even if it's
such...
always the women who do the work. Whoa, wait a sec. What'd you do to your wrist?
I just slipped and fell. Look, I'm really sorry I can't stay for dinner, but you sure I can't make you something?
Oh, for goodness sakes, I could still take care of myself.
I know you.
Self, thank you for getting my groceries.
I love you.
Oh, okay. Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
In a restaurant.
My advice to you, a little less thinking, a little more fucking. I mean, look at me. I got the four kids, and let me tell you something. That did not happen from thinking.
And three wives.
Defense rest. What about you? You look even more distracted and morose than usual. What's that about?
You remember Danny Miller?
He's got a chill.
I ran into him. He's out under another name.
He's not a patient of yours, is he?
No.
Well, good, then stop working what you're working on to write that. You could sell that in a second. There is nothing creepier than the truth, right? joke, for God's sake. It was a joke. Just don't talk to him under any circumstances. That was a long time ago. Let that be a long time ago.
Yeah, he's implying it was my testimony that convicted him.
Well, that's a little overstated, don't you think? I mean, come on, I know he was no angel. Still, it bothers me. He was my last case on that side of things.
I think about him.
Maybe we did go too fast. Maybe we came at him a little too hard.
What are you talking about? He didn't deny being there. He admitted to putting the cushion on her face, to touching her.
Yeah, but he didn't have any of the old lady's skin under his fingers, so there was nothing conclusive.
Nothing conclusive? His goddamn fingerprints were all over the bedroom, Teddy.
Easy, tough guy. Holy cow.
You know, if we continue like this, I'm going to have to start billing somebody, anybody.
Yeah, and the chickens?
No, I don't want to hear about the chickens, for God's sake. Fact of the matter is, you did the right thing. You did. There's always going to be questions.
I got one for you.
Do you think he honestly ran across you? Or do you think he found you?
He insists it was random.
Like anything's fucking random.
I tell you what,
you need a weapon, I'll get you a gun.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Teddy eyes a dark-haired woman at the bar.
Thank God they still make reporters that look like that.
At the penitentiary, Danny kicks the gate. In the dark bedroom. Tom picks up his phone.
Hey, honey, is that you?
It's Angela.
Ange, what?
Ian. Ian Wilkinson turned up at Morgan Hamilton Penitentiary tonight trying to get himself reincarcerated. Tried to handcuff himself to a guard. They want to commit him.
Well, maybe they should.
Him unless his parole officer or his therapist comes and gets him.
Okay, well, I'm not his therapist, so where?
That's not what he told them. I can't get over there tonight. Please, help me out on this.
See, you gotta be kidding me.
Tom, like it or not, you're part of this. I gotta go.
At the penitentiary, in a hallway, Danny kicks a chair, then sits. He leans his head against the painted block wall and laces his fingers. He rests his head in his hands. Tom strides down the hall past a guard and stands before Danny. Danny's dark eyes regard Tom. He looks away and gets up. On a clock, 1:23. In the car, raindrops glisten on the windows.
Hey, pull over to the side of the road. I gotta take a leak.
Yeah. Okay.
Danny heads down toward the trees. Tom watches as Danny disappears into the shadows. Tom sits back in his seat. He adjusts the rearview mirror. Tom turns toward the trees. Tom gets out of the car. He walks around the end of the car. The emergency lights glow. He scans the trees. He strolls on the side of the road. Car lights sweep over Tom. Danny taps his shoulder.
I'm sorry, you all right?
Danny lights a cigarette.
I'm fine. You know what, give me a drag of that. Thought maybe you ran off.
Yeah, well, maybe.
In the car, Danny stares out his window.
Do you remember our last session? The session before my trial? I put my arms around your waist and you looked at me. You looked at me and you walked away and I never heard from you again. I never saw you again. I was 11 years old, Tom.
Okay, well, you're out now. You're here. Do me a favor, crack the window, will you?
A fresh cigarette dangles from Danny's lips.
There's no smoking in my office, okay? Ever.
Danny extinguishes the match with his thumb. Tom glances at him. Danny smokes. In the office.
I started burning my fingertips in prison. I don't know why I do it. It's clean in here, very chic, like a hotel. Safe, nice, no distractions.
No distractions. Now, is that why you tried to get yourself back into prison last night?
Yeah, and I jumped in the river to cool down.
You still taking the temazepam?
Yep, 20 milligrams.
Where are you living?
Some shithole.
You got a job?
Through Marina.
Anybody at home?
Nope.
What about your mom?
Dead.
I'm sorry.
They let me visit her in the hospital with the cuffs on. You know what killed my mother? Those fucking handcuffs. And my father wasn't even fucking there when she went. And he's in Norwich now in some narcissistic coma. He calls a bar and used to visit me at Windsor. Acted like I was at some fancy prep school, but when they take you to prison, well, you turn 18, you know your life is over.
Look, I want you to know that I had no idea that you went to prison.
Don't lie, Dr. Seymour.
I'm not lying, it's the truth.
That's bullshit!
Danny, it's not bullshit. Listen,
yeah,
I had no way
sorry,
to know
that
they...
That's great. That gets me my
you
fucking life
down
back, doesn't it? Like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, and you know
come
that.
On, do you
I
really
didn't
believe
do anything.
That? The forensic evidence was overwhelming.
Danny stares down at him.
Time's up.
Tom rubs his lip. At an arcade, Danny plays a video game. Blue lights flash. He sits and grips a steering wheel. He plays a shooter game with a replica automatic weapon. At his desk, Tom reads the webpage of the Windsor Juvenile Center. On Tom's Facebook page, from Daniel Blanc, 3 hours ago, taking the time to look up in Yonkers in Tarrytown, thinking of you, Dr. Tom Seymour. He scrolls down the page to a photo of a guy kissing Lauren's cheek, posted by Kat Kennedy yesterday. On Lauren's link to her page, more pictures of Lauren with men posted by Kat. chin on his hand, Tom stares. In the train station. He kisses Lauren's cheek. Nighttime, in the bedroom.
You know,
she rests her head on his shoulder.
You could open your eyes when we're doing it.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry, honey.
The book is work. This is supposed to be the fun part.
No, I know. You're right.
You should have come down.
I know. I know it's a good time for us to try.
No. Because it was fun. Because New York is fun. New London is cloudy.
Hey, whoa, hang on.
She rolls over.
Wait a second.
He hugs her.
Maybe I just get a little jealous seeing you with all these young artist types, huh?
Oh. Thomas Seymour jealous. That I like.
Tom sleeps. Awake, Lauren rolls over, then gets up. In her studio, she turns on a lamp. She moves to the window and looks down at the shadows of branches on the driveway. A shrub filters the light at the base of a tree. Lauren pulls her hair into a ponytail. She stares at a painting on an easel.
Oh.
You all right?
My mind's just racing. It's okay, go back to sleep.
She turns on a clamp-on light over the painting of a dark-haired man in a striped shirt. Outside, Danny stands in the shadows. He walks off. Night turns to day. Tom sleeps. He gets up. Downstairs.
Well, yeah, now that I'm talking about it.
Hey, honey, you moving out on me one painting at a time?
She's got a show.
We ran into each other at Pete's by the river. It's Ian, Tom. Remember?
Danny waves.
Yeah, of course. How are you, Ian? How you doing?
Good. We've been talking, and he's thinking of applying to schools. I said that we could call around.
Sure. That sounds great. What's the show that...
Oh, no, it's nothing. It's Bob called me at the last minute and had to cancel, so I said I'd put something up. Mm-hmm.
That's great, right? Isn't that great?
Oh, no, yeah, it's definitely...
That's great. Not MoMA.
It's not nothing,
it's just
though.
A faculty show.
Yeah, no, I think it's great.
I'll definitely come down for it.
Ian works the night shift at the marina, so I said I'd give him a ride home.
You know what? I'll take him.
Don't you have to go to court today?
I do, but I can drop him off right on the way.
Oh, okay. Great. I have to get back to the city. It's crazy.
It is.
Danny pours coffee from a paper cup into a mug.
I prefer to drink out of a real cup.
Tom nods. In the car.
So that's where I work?
They pass the marina.
And that's where I drink? So, no kids, huh?
Nope.
Because sometimes I wonder why my parents even bother. What were they looking for? You know?
Dad really doesn't want to see you at all, huh?
My dad wants to erase me. He never wanted to see me, not really. He had the garage. He fixed it up like a workshop. Put a lock and key on it. But he'd just sit there and talk Fallujah. Mostly. told me the story about he blew a hole in this guy's chest and he slid down the wall like a red glob of spit. Now, my dad, he just liked to hunt. I hated it. One time, maybe I was 6, he just pulled over the side of the road, grabbed an automatic out of the back and shot 6 deer in seconds, like we were in an ambush. Pop, 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 pop. I was right beside him. They were so beautiful up close. He made me shoot one of them in the head so it wouldn't keep on trying to get up. I don't know if it was the adrenaline or not, but I couldn't stop crying. The blood splattering in my face. My dad saw it, and he was pissed. Just keep on going straight, man. You know, I read somewhere that we only use 10% of our mental capacity. Do you think about that?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
It's like buying a suit that's too big for you. You know? Like maybe one day you're going to fit it.
So then what do you think the other 90% is?
I don't know. Maybe it's animal. You know? Like, if we don't have this tiny little fraction, we're just all animal, like when we're sleeping or when I was in the river. No thinking, just animal. Did you use CPR to revive me?
Yeah.
It wasn't your wife?
Why are you asking?
Nothing, I was just curious, you know? And your wife, she's a very nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet, you're lucky. She's hot, actually.
Hey.
Sorry. Hey, that's me right there, that hunk of shit.
Tom stops by a building with peeling blue paint. A woman pushes a wire shopping cart.
Hey, good looking. Why don't you set your bags down and I'll help you take them up.
Oh, you're a prince, Ian.
Thanks. You need to stop coming to my house, do you understand?
Tom grabs Danny's arm.
Listen, I want to help you, but if you don't stop, we're done.
You're hurting me, Dr. Seymour.
Do you understand?
Thank you, sweetheart.
Danny salutes Tom. In court.
You are in violation of your supervised release. You have the right to retain counsel or to request counsel. If you cannot obtain it through ordinary means, the court will appoint someone to you. Do you understand?
The defendant glances at Angela and a young woman.
He tried to rape his 13-year-old niece.
Well, you were right about him.
Ugh.
Does Nikki know?
Probably. Thank God she was in prison. I can't believe how often I'm saying that these days. And Ian?
Yeah?
Have you been talking to him?
You sent me to go get him, remember?
Yes, and thank you. After that.
What is it?
Did he say anything about me? Because we have been speaking every night. He's talks deep, but lately he's been a little quick, distant almost. I don't know if I said anything to upset him.
Angela, he's your parolee.
No, I know that.
And how did he get out?
The headmaster at Windsor really went to bat for him. Cashed in some favors, and so did I. So he hasn't mentioned me.
Angela, look at me. What's going on?
What?
He's a job, a case. He's your case.
I'm worried about him. He's a good kid.
Yeah? How can you be so sure?
Tom, how many of these cases do we see every day? This kid is special. I think he has a real shot. You think I'm wrong?
I don't know. I don't know what I think.
Angela walks away. In a storage closet, Tom searches boxes. He pulls out a file. In his office, he opens the file and pauses by a newspaper article from the New London Star. Connecticut juvenile charged in murdering elderly woman. Tom takes a DVD from the file and inserts it into his computer. A video, Daniel Miller, 27 October 2003.
He would make me a little chicken in my hands. You know, after he came back. He was different, scary. He would, you know, turn my hands to it and then cut off its head. I would hold it while it shook, and the bleeding came all out.
And you understand that's wrong. That's... You're safe here, Danny. You understand that.
Young Danny stares without expression. In the car. Tom travels alternate route, New England Thruway. He pulls into a gate. A guard waves. He approaches a large brick house, Cottage D.
Mrs. Green?
Yes, Dr. Seymour, please come in.
Thank you.
Mrs. Green offers a small pitcher.
You're better looking than the picture on your book.
Well, no, thank you. I appreciate you seeing me on such short notice.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm not sure I can tell you anything. Are you treating Danny?
Yes. Yes, I am. So you used to teach him here at Windsor?
Yes. He was one of the brightest boys I ever taught. You know, there's nothing like feeding a mind that can take everything you can give it and then comes back asking for more.
And how old was he then?
13 and 14.
Is there anything else from that time that struck you about him and sticks out?
He was very good at getting people to think they were helping him until they ended up exhausted, or worse. Three of our staffers, to be exact. My husband still blames himself. What he did to that child.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's terrible. Terrible. And I know, very difficult to talk about. I'm sorry.
I blame Mr. McDonald. You see, I still want to forgive Danny. Because the other boy, he was one of those boys. Always a problem. Always. But Danny did...
She closes her eyes.
He stabbed that boy. He walked across the room and he stabbed him. Thank God the poor child survived. Broke my husband's heart. But I blame Angus. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Because you feel like he let it happen.
He wanted it to happen. Angus McDonald came to us a teacher. A teacher. But he had Danny writing all these terrible things over and over about what happened. Angus was over-involved.
Go on.
I think I've said enough.
Tom sits in the car.
This is Tom. You reach my cell. Leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Tom, I'm really mad at you right now, and I don't want to be mad at you, but you should be here. I shouldn't even be leaving you this message. But this is good. This is really good. I think the guy from the Times is here.
She wears an off-the-shoulder dress.
She's a liar.
At Danny's.
Why would she lie?
Why don't you believe me?
She said you stabbed the kid, Danny.
You have no idea what I had to do in there. What they called me. What they did to me.
And Angus?
He's a creep, a stalker, and a faggot. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Fuck, you hate me. Why do you hate me?
I don't hate you. Will you stop
it? Why? Why do you hate me?
Will you just stop it? I don't hate you. I'm just trying to figure out what happened at Windsor. That's all.
You still think I killed her? Well, I didn't. It wasn't me. It was someone else who did that stuff. I don't know who it was. Fuck it. I have to go to work.
Danny, stop
okay?
it.
You
stop
were supposed
it.
To help me,
Danny.
I thought. Huh? You were. You were.
You will you
were.
Calm
you were.
Down?
You can help me.
Danny, calm down. Danny, calm
Danny
down.
Kicks a table.
Danny.
He tosses newspapers at Tom.
Those used to belong to me. I don't know who they belong to anymore, okay? Fucking take it.
He upends a card table.
Are you finished? Now you want to tell me what really happened at Windsor?
Why? So you can pretend like you give a shit?
Hey, just wait a second. Danny!
Outside the blue building, Tom looks around. At the marina. Tom talks to an employee. Tom points. The employee shakes his head. In a bar.
Angie.
Listen.
No, wait. I want to buy you a drink.
Tom.
Oh, come on, sit. Sit down. Sit. Have a drink with me. Thank you.
One drink.
So, you heard anything from our boy?
He's at my house. On the couch. I don't know what you said to him, but he's trying to turn his life around. And digging up the past is not going to help him.
Wait a second, I thought you wanted me to...
Not like that. To keep going over it and over it, Tommy? I mean, come on. If you have doubts about your decision, you need to leave that shit back there.
Wait, come on, Angelina. That's not what's happening here. So what did he tell you? Angel, what did he say?
Look, all I know is if you're not helping, you're hurting.
Angela downs her drink.
Thanks for the drink.
She leaves. He sips his. At the train station.
Don't say it. Don't say that word.
What word?
Work.
I know, but I really...
What did I just say? No, I got it. It's fine.
He follows her from the terminal. A minute hand moves on the station clock. In the car.
So what's with all the new bags?
Did you listen to my message?
Yeah.
All of it? Colin Waters. The Colin Waters Gallery.
No, I know. Colin Waters. It's great.
Do you know who Colin Waters is?
Are you serious? Yeah, of course I know who Colin Waters is. Come on.
There is no Colin Waters. It's just a bunch of guys who call themselves Colin Waters. But they have a gallery in Bushwick, and they want to give me a show.
That's great.
And they have a studio above the gallery where I can work.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah. Do you know how hard it is for a figurative painter to get a solo show these days?
No, I know. That's great. That's great news, honey. Congrats. Really.
Oh, Jesus. You got here before me. I need to bring some work and other things down there. You should have listened to the message.
Hey.
What's up, Lauren?
This is Tom, my husband Tom.
Hey man. What's happening?
Inside, a guy wearing cotton gloves takes a picture from the wall in the staircase.
The chair?
Well, I need a place to sit, right? It's just a kitchenette right now and some empty space.
She carries off another painting. From the house, she watches as a large wrapped work disappears inside the van. Tom sits in bed and reads. She sets a glass on her nightstand.
It feels like you're moving out.
Well, only if you don't come with me. Tom, the city, a room. Kind of like when we first met. We didn't leave your apartment for a month. The show's not until June. We have over a month. You're shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
Am I shaking my head?
Yeah. I think this book is getting to you. All those stories about kids.
You know what? You're right. This is a really good opportunity for you.
I'm so tired. Put me to bed, will you?
Mm-hmm.
In the dark room, Tom lies awake, his arm around Lauren. Daytime.
Oh, I need to stop at the bakery. I want to get something for the guys at the gallery. You know those muffins that we love?
Sure.
Tom sits in the car. In the bakery, he spots Lauren talking to Danny. He gets out and starts to cross the street. A bus passes. Lauren is on the sidewalk.
Who is that?
Ian. Isn't that crazy?
What did he want?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I was too distracted by his charm.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
What is going on with you?
What's going on me? What's going on with you? You think you can hang out with someone your own age for once? Huh?
Fuck you. No, seriously, fuck you.
In the train station, they sit on a bench.
Ladies and gentlemen, announce the train number 179, the
870
PM.
Lauren, I'm sorry. I got a lot on my mind right now, and I think maybe the book is getting to me. I'm just writing about these kids and these cases every day. It's just taking its toll. I'm sorry, I just feel like I'm losing.
Tom, it's time.
For what?
Everything. Good things. Everything that we talked about.
Over her shoulder, Tom spots a man with long dark hair with some girls.
Tom.
Tom stares.
Tom. Tom.
Yes, I know you're right.
I'll see you in a day or two.
In his car, Tom watches a train roll off. At his mother's house.
She's okay, even if she's an artist. And you should go down there and spend more time with her.
Well, that's complicated, Mom.
Complicated. Religion is complicated. Politics, complicated.
And Dad?
Complicated. But I wasn't. I was easy. You see who he's got working out there? You remember? That's Neil. That's little Neil Bridges. You boys used to torture him something terrible.
Tom moves to the window. A man bangs a hammer on the railing of the dock. Outside, Lewis carries a bag of potting soil over his shoulder.
What's he doing here?
He needed a job. Least I could do.
Man, I can still hear him crying, screaming.
I don't remember who went in after him. I know it wasn't me. It wasn't you.
My father. He jumped in, remember?
Lewis nods.
You ever think about what had happened if
No.
You...
Not really.
Lewis walks off. At Penn Station, Lauren leaves with her duffel bag. She walks past a rank of taxis. Danny watches her.
What kind of tea do you have?
We got black tea, green tea, chai, peppermint, Earl Grey.
Nothing with caffeine though, right? Hey.
Ian. Hi.
Hey. What are you doing in the city?
Anything herbal's fine. What are you doing in the city?
I was staying at my friend's. I had an interview for Hunter, so.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What a coincidence. This is crazy.
At a table.
Exactly. I mean, like, obviously I want people to see my work.
Right.
Otherwise, what's the point of making it? But like, I totally forgot how noisy this neighborhood is. Like, sorry, you have an eyelash that's about to fall out.
Oh, good. Do I have to blow on it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I used to be really into this thing called encaustic, which I'm trying to bring back. It's like you take beeswax and resin and you put that on the canvas. It makes it three-dimensional, and like you can iron it and melt it. It's amazing.
I mean, I have to tell you that.
Yes.
That doesn't matter.
What? Come on, you can't do that. What?
You're incredibly inspiring. It makes me feel like I don't know, like anything's possible. I got it.
He takes her hand.
Dr. Seymour is a very lucky man.
Danny takes the check.
Yes, he is.
At a bar, Tom sits alone and sips. A couple sits further down the bar. Tom watches them. In Angela's office.
Rough night, huh?
Yeah, I ran into some old friends.
And Lauren?
She's down in New York. So what's up? You called me?
Ian's father knows he's out. He called the penitentiary asking questions about his son. Did he call you?
Call me? Why would he call me?
I'm worried he's going to try to find Ian.
I thought he was staying with you.
He went back to his apartment. And he's not there. He's not at work. He missed his appointment today. That's never happened before.
Who's Angus McDonald?
He told you about that? God damn it, Tom. Stabbings like that happen all the time in juvie. Okay? So let's not exaggerate it. Wait, he didn't go find Angus, did he?
Angela, I don't know. I don't know where he is.
Because I got my eye on Angus. He's up on campus. A piece of work. His kids, students he's had coming in and out of there. He always seems to be two drinks away from whatever perverted shit he's thinking.
Angela, listen. Your investment in this kid...
Don't you analyze me. You worry about your own investments.
I'm just not sure he's who you want him to be.
Jesus, who is? Who is? You need to worry about who you need him to be.
But Angela, I don't need him to be anybody, okay?
Just do me a favor, okay? If he reaches out, you hold him. Keep him. And don't do anything until I get there.
Tom parks in a residential neighborhood. A woman waits on the porch.
Hi.
Hello.
Dr. Seymour?
Yes.
Professor McDonald's inside. First time here?
I've spoken a few times on campus.
Inside, a young man comes down the stairs.
Jeremy?
Yeah. Is there any coffee left?
Cold.
Good.
He likes cold coffee.
That's good.
Dr. Seymour.
Mr. McDonald.
Have a seat, please.
Tom eyes a guy sprawled on the couch.
Don't worry about him. He's been up all night. So, Danny Miller, huh?
Yes.
Where is he? Do you know?
I don't know, actually.
Where is Danny? Everyone wants to know, or is it who is Danny?
Right. Angus read your book, your first book.
You have a very optimistic view of your profession, Doctor. Except for when it comes to Danny. So what is it you want to know?
Well, one thing I'd like to know is how a writing class turned into a stabbing.
And if I tell you, will you give him my address?
Do you want me to give him your address?
Now you sound like a therapist. And as a therapist, you should know that Danny is not the victim. He could be a very seductive young man. And, well, I don't know what he told you, but nothing happened between us. Nothing physical, at least. Everything I did for him, and I'm the one accused. You know what he's capable of. I'm sure you do. He wrote about you over and over. You see, Danny is crazed with talent. A strong writer, but a black hole. You get taken. He takes you in. Jeremy! Now, this story that Danny was writing in my class, well, excuse the pun, but he looked me in the eye, he walked across the room, and showed me the point of it. See, but the thing is...
McDonald raises Jeremy's shirt to reveal a scar.
Seemed to enjoy it. I mean, Danny seemed to enjoy the act of it.
Fucker acted like he was my friend. He ain't shit.
See, don't be alone with him.
I'm not worried about that.
Bucky, you?
Outside, Tom walks to his car.
Dr. Seymour? Dr. Seymour? Hi. I'm sorry, but I know this seems a little awkward, but could you sign the book, like your book?
Oh, sure, sure. Come in.
Ooh, it's cold out there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I haven't seen this in a while.
Yeah. I started reading, and I like it a lot. Yeah. But the stories the children tell themselves, I mean, they're more for the adults than for them, right?
Maybe for both. What's your name again?
Rowena. You know, I saw you speak on campus. You were great.
She whispers in his ear. Nighttime, in the back seat, Rowena's blouse is off. She moves above him. Tom wakes. He looks around, then reaches into the front seat.
Hello, Ange?
We have a problem.
Why, what's wrong?
Any word from Danny?
No, why?
I got a call from Danny's father on my phone, my personal phone. He said he knows where Danny is. I don't know what he's up to. Can you talk some sense into him before he does something stupid? He's not stable. I traced the phone to Norwich.
Tom gets in the front seat.
You have an address?
I'll call you back.
Tom rubs his face. He drives across a bridge. He parks across the street from stone steps. A man with receding brown hair descends the steps. Passes Tom's car and gets in a silver sedan. Tom follows. They travel a narrow one-way street, then turn onto a two-lane street. Silver car parks behind a chain-link fence. Tom stops outside it. The man opens Tom's door.
You follow me, asshole? Don't you think I know when somebody's following me? Don't you think I know who you are, Dr. Seymour?
I'm just here to talk about your son.
My son's no good. He's no good, all right? He's an embarrassment. He needs to go back in a hole.
Captain, I know you've been trying to contact him.
Not that it's any of your business who's contacting who, but obviously you've been in contact with him, huh, Doctor? You know, I thought you'd be the one fucking to understand that him going to prison was a good thing.
Well, he's out now, and we're just trying to help
him. And he needs to be stopped, all right? Don't you know how hard that is for a father to say about his own son?
Captain Miller grabs Tom's jacket.
Huh? No, get the fuck out of here. You're like all those other fucking bleeding hearts. You got no clue what you're dealing with.
Hi.
Hey,
honey, I'm sorry, I miss you.
Wait, hold on a second, I can't hear you. Let me just turn this out.
Where are you?
I'm at home.
Your parents?
No, at our home. I miss you too.
All right, well, I'm on my way back right now, okay?
Good.
How much longer do you think you'll be? Because we're making dinner.
Oh yeah, who's there?
Ian, we drove back together from the city.
Lauren, I don't want him in our house.
Have you ever used a knife before in your life?
I'm trying to keep it all together.
Those vegetables aren't going to cut themselves.
No, okay. Lauren, I'm not kidding. Listen to me.
Are you listening in on my phone call? My private phone call?
Lauren, step into the other room right now.
Music.
Lauren.
Please put on a song that doesn't give me a headache. Thank you. Okay, well, we'll wait for you to eat.
No, Lauren.
Tom slams the steering wheel.
Let's go!
The light is green.
Go!
At the house.
Lauren? Didn't you hear me calling you?
Well, hello to you too.
What the hell do you think you're doing, huh?
I'm sorry, we were just having some dinner.
Just relax.
Don't tell me to relax. Ian, you need to leave my house right now.
Tom.
It's okay.
Now.
Okay.
Tom hands Danny his overcoat.
Thank you for dinner. It was lovely.
Lauren gapes.
Why would you talk to him like that?
You don't know anything about him.
On the driveway.
Danny, I thought we said you weren't going to come to my house anymore.
Have you seen the news?
No. Why?
An old man got murdered up in Danbury.
two kids did it. It's all gonna happen again, isn't it? All of it.
Have you talked to your father?
Why would I do that? Have you? Shit, they're gonna put me away again. They're gonna fuck me over again.
Danny walks off. Inside.
You have no idea who this kid is, okay? None.
And you do? He's not a page out of the DSM. He's a child.
I want you to stay away from him. Just trust me on this, okay? Stay away.
Okay, fine. I need to finish this.
Tom leaves the studio. At Danny's. His upper arm and shoulder are marked with thin scars. Danny stares at a bullet. He sets it on the card table with others. Beside a gun is a photo of a dark-haired boy with an automatic weapon. Danny picks it up and crumples it. He sweeps the bullets aside. In the court hall, the dark-haired woman and her niece step into the hall. The woman glances back at Angela and Tom. Outside the courthouse.
Dr. Seymour, Tom. I was wondering if we could talk to you for a second. We'd like to get a comment on a piece that's running tonight about the two juveniles in Danbury.
Well, they're not my clients.
Do you mind if we turn on the camera?
Actually, I do. I'm not involved in that case.
No, but you are aware they released Daniel Miller, the young man who murdered Elizabeth Parks 12 years ago. He was a client, a patient.
Look, as a matter of policy, I don't comment on my clients, past or present. Sorry.
In the restaurant. Tom spots Teddy.
White water rafting in boat.
What am I doing? The North Fork of the Salmon River in Idaho. Put a pin in that. We will continue. I gotta go put out a fire. I'll be right back.
Tom paces.
Did you tell her?
Calm down.
Did you tell your reporter friend he was out?
Calm down.
Did you?
She already knew.
I just confirmed it. Father's out there talking to anybody who'll listen.
Tom.
Tommy. Did you actually think this was never going to get back to us? Just because we sent that kid away doesn't mean he's going to stay away. Come on. I'm going to go back to my meeting. If you would like to grab a drink and forget that we ever got involved with this fucking thing to begin with, please just give me a call, but calm down. She's going to run whatever she has tonight, tomorrow, whatever. And it'll be done. And the number one thing we can rely on are people and people's complete lack of follow-through and long-term memory. So calm the fuck down.
Teddy pats Tom's shoulder and leaves. Outside Danny's.
Danny. Listen, I think me, you, and Angela need to get together, make a plan. And if you want, we can try and work on this together. Okay? But call me back. I will make the time.
Nighttime, in the car.
I want to Lizzie.
Tom walks slowly to his office. The door is open.
Feed the kittens. My mother stayed at home.
He pauses in the doorway.
Are you tired, Danny?
Danny watches his video.
No. I like Lizzie. She couldn't see so good. She had cats in her eyes. When I went, she wasn't there, so I went upstairs. She had this powder.
Tom enters.
Lady powder.
Danny turns his head.
It smelled like flowers. It was sticky.
And then what?
I heard her. I heard her come in upstairs. I run. I have to get past her, but she was blocking me. She wouldn't move. So I kicked her. I kicked her down. She was twitching, making this noise, so I took the cushion off the chair. She had these cushions from Boston and covered her face to get her to stop. And she kept kicking and kicking.
And what did that feel like?
Like a chicken with its head cut off.
Young Danny smiles.
Why did you go back? You went back.
I don't know.
But if you knew it was wrong, why did you go back?
I don't know.
Because your fingers were clean under your nails.
I don't know. I don't know who this kid is.
It's okay, all right? It's okay. Just tell me what else happened back there.
It doesn't fucking matter what happened. You're not gonna believe me anyway.
Well, how can anybody help you if you continue to take no responsibility?
And what about your responsibility? I'm sorry that I took that.
He returns Lauren's photo.
It was wrong. She's very sweet. And give those back to my father. I don't want them anymore.
Wait, Danny, listen. For your own safety, you need to call Angela. Danny! And it's just me. I found him.
Where?
In my office.
Still there?
No, he just left.
You didn't hold him?
No, I didn't.
Why?
Because he broke in. Because he stole from my house. Because he's not my case or my patient.
At the house, Tom watches local news on his computer.
It is not known where Daniel Miller was relocated after his release, but Miller's father spoke with us earlier this afternoon.
Why he's out is beyond me. Last I heard, he was somewhere in Connecticut. London, most likely.
The release of convicted juveniles like Daniel Miller has become a hot topic in the wake of recent violent crimes.
I'm going to bed.
By juveniles in the area.
Hi. I'll be in a minute.
Are you okay?
Yeah. You?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm okay. Why didn't you just tell me that that was him?
Because it was over a dozen years ago, Lauren. Because I didn't want to put that back on you, on us.
That kid needs your help.
You know, I don't know if I can help him.
She frowns.
Excuse me?
They put him away. Because I thought he was bad.
And do you still think that?
I don't know. I don't know what I think anymore. That's the problem, Lauren. I was trying to protect you as all.
No.
No, I was.
No. You were trying to protect yourself. You know what? Things are good or bad. But people? Sometimes people are just not easy. I'm going back to the city for a while. You know where to find me.
She leaves. Tom takes the file from his briefcase and puts on his glasses. He studies photos of soldiers and a real estate flyer. Daytime.
Are you sure?
Tom drives.
Pretty sure.
Don't do anything before I get there.
How far away are you?
Not far.
All right, I'm going.
And I said...
Before he does something to himself or who knows what.
At the house on the flyer, Tom walks up to the double door entry. Danny sits on the stairs.
Danny.
Her niece lived here for a while, I heard.
Danny, that gun's gonna get you put away.
He stares at the handgun he holds.
It might. It's crazy though, right? I mean, I can't even close my eyes without seeing her face. Upside down right there, staring back at me, even if they burnt this whole place down.
Why don't you just give me the gun, Danny?
No. You know, I thought it was gonna be my father who came here first.
Search and destroy, Mr. Miller. That's what he was good at. Now, little Danny Miller kept on coming back here because every time he did, he thought, I thought, that Lizzie would be walking around, feeding her cats, up and about. That's what my mother used to say. Like none of this happened. Lizzie or my mother.
Danny, I don't know if I ever told you this before, but when I was a kid, me and some friends, we pushed this boy in the water and we watched him almost drown.
You watched? See, Tom, that's your problem. That's your real problem, is you like to watch. You are a fucking tourist, Tom. That's what the rich do. They tour.
But he would have drowned. My father didn't jump in.
You jumped in to save me.
Danny?
Danny descends the stairs.
Or I guess we could have gone down together, but you saved me, Dr. Seymour.
Did I tell you that before? About the drowning?
Did you know it was me? The river? I don't think you did.
Danny.
You like to watch, Tom. Until you don't. But people like me don't have that choice. Why didn't you help me? Why?
I thought I was there.
Don't lie! Gunner! Don't lie!
Danny.
Open it. Pick it up. Pick it up! Do it, or I'll kill you and then kill myself. Do it! No! No! Do it!
Okay.
Open it! Pick it up. Pick it up!
Tom takes a small brown hen from a cardboard box.
Good. Hold it.
Danny, why are you doing this?
Danny duct tapes Tom's hands to the chicken. He drops the gun and draws a knife.
Don't do this, Danny. Danny, don't do this.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
Blood drips on the tape.
Now that is feeling. That is not watching. That is feeling. Is that what you were afraid of? That feeling? That someone could like that feeling? Why? Because we're killers? We are all of us killers, Tom. But liking it, that is a whole nother story. Did you like how that felt?
No. No, I didn't.
Neither did I. I kicked her. And she fell. And she started shaking. And I'm sorry.
Danny drops his head on Tom's shoulder. Tom frees his hands. He slides the knife away and kneels by Danny.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's It's my dad. He knows where I am, Tom.
Okay, listen. Everything's gonna be okay, all right? I need you to go upstairs and stay out of sight now.
Tom picks up the gun. Outside, Tom walks to the car. Miller emerges with a baseball bat.
Get the hell away from the car!
Just back off and leave him alone.
I swear, I'm so sick of you fucking idiots!
Leave him alone! Who do you think told me he was here?
Oh, bullshit.
Bullshit!
Huh? Miller pokes bullshit. Tom in the stomach.
Bullshit!
Tom grabs the bat. Miller swings.
Bullshit.
Miller brandishes the bat. Tom pulls the gun. Miller throws the bat and knocks Tom to the ground. Danny watches from an upper window.
He can play you, but he ain't gonna play me.
Miller straddles Tom and chokes him. Tom strains for the gun and hits Miller in the head. Miller falls on his back. Danny moves from the window. With the gun, Tom gets to his feet. Miller touches his head. Tom moves away and drops the gun in the dirt. He breathes deeply. At the house, Tom enters and hangs his jacket on a hook. Holding his side, he walks up the stairs. In the studio, he lowers himself to a bed under the window. He holds his head in his hands. Fade to black. Words appear.
It's the stories.
Portland, Oregon.
The stories children tell themselves after the event.
14 months later.
Or the act. That's what we work with, not to punish or accuse, but to help them retell their stories in a way that gives them hope, possibility, and a future. Because if you don't believe a child has a future, then why believe in anything?
Tom removes his glasses. Tom signs books.
No offense, but don't you think you're exploiting the kids you're trying to help?
I think the only person that he's exploiting here is himself. I wouldn't worry about her. She got busted for dealing drugs. That's her main claim to fame around here.
Fuck off.
Oh my God.
Good friend of yours?
I thought so. I saw the ad in the paper. And this is riveting stuff, Tom, truly.
Thank you.
But you didn't mention me in your book.
No, I didn't. Not in this one.
No, I don't think a chapter's enough for you. You need your own book.
Danny smiles and nods. Outside.
So, Portland, huh?
Yeah, and in school. Like a million of us. It's basically like prison, except there's, you know, girls.
So you're good? Past and present?
Yeah, you know? Getting by, forward motion and all that.
Danny. There you are.
Hey, baby.
Rowena.
Yes, of course.
You look good. Oh, I transferred up here when Danny did. Sorry I missed your talk. I had class. Did you tell him about your story?
Well,
no, he didn't.
Oh, well, he's quite talented.
Imagine he would be.
It's going to be in the quarterly.
I don't think he wants to hear
no,
about all that.
No, it's good and strange. It's about this boy who buys these toy soldiers, these made-in-China toy soldiers.
All right.
Hey, Ro, hurry up.
I'll see you soon, all right?
Okay. Good to see you again.
Toy soldiers were from Walmart.
Excuse me?
Well, in my story, the toys, they're from Walmart. It's basically, it's about this kid who starts messing with his psychiatrist, his former psychiatrist, the one that he had when he was a child. It's just a story, Tom. I'll send it to you. Give it a read.
What's this story called?
The Tourist. Oh, but that's not you anymore, though, is it? No. I mean, you pulled the trigger, didn't you? You almost killed him. I thought you would.
What? The hell is so funny?
Nothing, man. Just people like you. I'm sorry.
But look, I gotta get to the airport. Can I drop you off someplace?
Yeah.
In a car.
How's Lauren? She didn't make the trip with you, huh?
No, she's working.
Everything good between you two?
Mm-hmm.
She must be due pretty soon, though, right?
Yeah, she is.
Wow. Tom, that's great. I know that you guys were trying for a while, and it was really hard on her, so congratulations. I'm very happy for the two of you.
How did you know my wife was pregnant?
Danny grinned.
I asked you how you knew.
Tom, we talked on the phone. She called me, and we talked. She didn't tell you that? We didn't talk on the phone, Tom. I read about it on Facebook. You need to relax. You're a very tense person. It's a boy, though, right? Isn't that what they just told her? A son? You're gonna be a father, Tom. How incredible is that?
Tom grips the wheel.
What are you gonna name him?
Tom rolls down the window.
I guess you don't have to answer that right now. You still got some time. I have to say, I cannot wait to meet him.
Tom tightens his grip and turns the wheel. Cut to black. A wooden guardrail is broken. The current pushes the water toward the shore. The car lies in the water upside down, two tires exposed. Unsteadily, Tom wades toward the shore. He falls to his knees and continues to the rock-strewn bank. He glances back at the car. Cut to black. Credits appear. Executive producer Joe Pope, co-producer J.E. Fishman. Credit scroll. In order of appearance, cast Tom Seymour, Josh Charles, Lauren Seymour, Julia Stiles, Danny Avin Jogia, Mary O'Rear, Andrea Barnes, Nicole Demirs, Ava Zemanski, Judge Kim Brockington, Angela Jeffers, Tracy Toms, Rose, Deborah Hedwell, Lewis, Mike Houston, Teddy, John C. McGinley, Mrs. G, June Stein, Young Danny, Jasper Newell, Mrs. Green, Marceline Hugot, Hitman One, Craig Newman, Barista, Ellen Tamaki, Angus, Leo Fitzpatrick, Rowena, Jessica Ellison, Jeremy, Sam Lilja, Captain Miller, Robert Clohessy, Stacy Jones, Kim Ramirez, Earth Punk Girl, Lily Burns.
Copyright 2016, Bette Gordon Production, Incorporated.